I think also part of it is just like a construct that is put upon our society that the mother has to do or be expected to be in that role in certain ways where I think that males are more than capable enough, and I've proven to myself over the last 17-day stretch where you weren't here that I was able to do any and everything that you have done for her.
Welcome to the SensoryWise Solutions podcast for parents, where parents can get real, actionable strategies to support kids with sensory processing disorder. I'm Laura, OT and mom to Liliana, a sensory sensitive kid who inherited my anxiety and my love for all things Disney. Consider me your new OT mom bestie. I know my stuff, but I also know what it's really like in the trenches of parenting a child with sensory processing disorder.
Okay, Mom, enough about me. Let's start the podcast.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is the second time I get to have my sweet husband, Mark, on the podcast with me. If you want to go back and listen to our other podcast episode, that was episode 43 called Unscripted, My Husband's Neurodivergent Parenting Experience. And you can find that in the links below, or just type in theotbutterfly.com/43 to find it. Today's episode is also unscripted, as you can quickly tell by the way that we're talking casually and having fun with it in the episode. But this is more focused on the time that he got to spend with our daughter with me out of the country for 17 days. So we're talking about how he got to experience default parenting life a little bit. And apologies in advance if the sound is off. I tried my best to edit it appropriately, but this was the first time I had recorded with two people in the same room using two separate mics. So there was a little bit of audio feedback I tried to adjust for. But other than that, let's get started. Hi, babe.
Hey, how are you, my love?
This is your second time back on the podcast.
I feel very honored. I don't think that's happened a lot, I'm guessing, so.
This is completely unplanned. How much notice did I give you of today's podcast episode?
About 20 to 30 minutes.
20 to 30 minutes. Yep. But the people want to know. Well, people have been asking. I'm going to link in the show notes below our previous episode that we did. And they said that they wanted you back, and I keep meaning to have you back, but wanted like a specific topic. And I think this makes the most sense because I just got back from a 17-day trip to the Philippines, and you were left all alone with our sweet, sweet six-year-old. So I wanted to recap live with you about how it went. We've already talked a little bit, but I could tell by the way that you were sharing stories that people would want to hear, because I always talk about the default parent and the burden of being the default parent. And I think you were the default parent for 17 days. Would you agree?
By default, I was the default parent. So
the default parent, obviously, if you're a single parent and you are raising a child on your own with no help, you're automatically the default parent. Mm-hmm. But I talk about, and a lot of parents, a lot of moms feel like we are the default parent, which is when we are the ones who are thinking about a lot of the invisible things that it takes to raise a kid and run a household. And then we are just automatically the first person that the child goes to ask for literally everything. And it doesn't mean that you're not willing to help. It's just Liliana will just like 99.9% of the time ask me for help that for things that you are very well capable of doing. So for 17 days, you were the default parent. What are your thoughts on that? How did that go?
I mean, there's a lot of ways I could take that, but I think just going off of what you're saying specifically, like the idea of a default parent, I mean, there's to me, it's like, in some ways, yes, I understand, because as her mother, she came from you, and I think fathers can never replicate that bond. I mean, it's impossible. There's something very real about, like, that sixth sense that you have and an attachment to her. Like, there was that example, I don't get into it, but, like, you think of things about her. It's like, did she take her advent calendar thing yesterday, and she so happened to miss that specific day out of, like, you know, 2 weeks worth, and is something, you know, like that. But to say that, like, the default parent, the idea of that to me being the mom is natural, because that's where
there's like families that don't have biological parents that
correct.
Still have
default
parent.
This is what I'm getting to, is that I think also part of it is just like a construct that is put upon our society that the mother has to do or be expected to be in that role in certain ways, where I think that males are more than capable enough. And I've proven to myself over the last 17 day stretch where you weren't here that I was able to do any and everything that you have done for her. And as a matter of fact, like, as it went on, it got easier and it got more palatable. It didn't become a thing of, like, worrying whatsoever. It was just, this is like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to the alphabet of what you have to do in a day to take care of her, which, again, shout out to you and every mom that has to do the things that, like, I didn't see. Because you get shielded a little bit if you're not the default parent and you're not the one that's doing it every day, day over day, consistently. Everything is like the minutiae of the mornings of getting up and packing her breakfast, getting her ready. Packing her lunch, making her breakfast, getting her ready for school, dropping her off at a set time, and then just doing that day over day over day. I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot to do when you do it.
Yeah, those are the daily routine things. Right. But I'm wondering, were there some, because you already do, on our normal routine, you already do every aspect of her day-to-day routine, just not as much as I do. I do it, like, more often,
the
right?
The frequency is just the ratio of what you do, but I still have the
And if there was a day when, you know, if I can't, like, do her dinner, I'll be like, can you take care of dinner? And I don't tell you what to make, you still do it. But I still kind of, like, or, like, remind you, like, don't forget her snack, don't forget her dinner. So for 17 days, I didn't give you any reminders. I couldn't even, because I was on the complete other side of the world. So I'm curious if there are things that you didn't realize that I did, or if there are things that you were like, that I didn't prepare you for, that you didn't even think of, that happened, like, by mistake. You're like, oh, I didn't know I should have done that. Or is there something that was new for you that you figured out, kind of stumbled upon?
No, I think there was not something as specific as XYZ was, like, I wasn't expecting this. It's, I think, the overarching dynamic of, I put a lot of responsibility on myself to not have her just be in another room on a screen on an iPad or just watching Bluey for 7 straight hours. Like, I wanted to make sure that she was doing things that broke up her day, and we weren't, and I have a tendency to do this because I work remotely from home, that a whole day will go by, and if, especially if I'm juggling work, that you realize I haven't really got outside. And I think that's the biggest thing that jumped out at me, is not having the safety net of knowing for over 2 weeks, unless I actually take her to the park, unless I take her to the Spectrum, you know, to just get air, and we go out to eat and all that stuff. Like, it's just the need to have to be the one to plan and plot the entire day. And honestly, like, just make sure that she's not wasting too much, not wasting is not the right time terminology, but, like, everything in moderation. And it, like, put a clock in my head that wouldn't go away until you came back. And I didn't really feel, again, it's a luxury that I have, because you're the one who's usually, you know, taking charge of these things, and I'm mostly riding shotgun, like I think most husbands are. But, like, when you're not there and it's on me to make sure that she's lined up for school and picked up at school every day, and she's making, you know what I mean, she's making an effort to enrich herself, so she's not just looking at an iPad. Like, I just have a problem with that myself. Like, and yeah. I know,
like, you weren't just able to turn off or like do your own thing. Like, you're constantly there's constantly like a snack you need to remember to prepare for, a dinner, a bath time to get her in and out of. Yep. She's been on the screen for how, like, you just, like, you can never fully, like, turn off that part of your brain.
It's an ongoing thing that, I mean, again, I think it speaks to the fact that for those 2 weeks, I took a full week of work almost unexpectedly off just right beforehand, just because I was like, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And I needed that week to get adjusted to not having to, because, I mean, working remote in what I do with, you know, in working in media and answering emails and always kind of being on around the clock managing a TV network is like, that doesn't really turn off either. So it's like, if I'm heightening the need to be on 24/7 with her and not leaning on you and all the gaps that you fill. And then I had work as well. So like that second week when I was with her, my goodness, dude, a few times in my life have I felt that level of pressure just on a full nonstop, like, man, I got to get this much stuff done in one day just to get to the end of the day. And it's like, that's why I'm like single parents that are working career oriented or like different people. They're like the real MVPs. So.
You figured something out the hard way when you took her to a 4D movie experience. Even when you told me this, I already knew. Backstory, Mark sent me a picture of them, like when I was in the Philippines, he sent me a picture of him in the movie theater with her, with like a bucket of popcorn, like, we're seeing a movie today. And I was like, oh, cool, how fun. Like, that's all I got. I thought they just saw a movie. Came home and he told me that that was the second movie theater they were in because the first one did not go so well because he tried to take her to a 4D experience. And for those of you know where this goes, but I haven't let him elaborate.
Yeah.
I don't want to let him elaborate. So what did you learn?
A couple things. Let me back it up. Now let me go in with the reasoning and the logic as to why I thought this may work. We go to Disneyland quite often, and there are several rides that I've watched a few movies in this 4DX theater setting, which is motion sensor, the seats are activated. There's, you know, it moves and vibrates with the sounds of the movie. Stuff sprays at you, all that stuff. So I'm like, yeah, this is kind of like that new ride, that Mickey ride, right?
Where Mickey and Minnie's Runaway.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that, and I was like, that's apples to apples enough. I'm like, okay, and it's Trolls, so I'm like, okay, it's a movie where it's a relatively safe bet. It's gonna be tame, but then. We get there and we're sitting and we get there early enough to catch a preview. And then there's this crazy intense preview for basically to show off the 4DX settings in the theater.
Which is what? What are the 4DX?
Which is what settings? I was explaining. It's basically you're sitting on an earthquake type seat where it's going to move and there's going to be vibrations with anything that's happening in the movie. There's loud noises. Water will spray and wind will spray in your face to mimic it, all that stuff, right? I probably should have thought of that part a little bit closer. That's on me. But, like, I'm like, also, she likes rides and she's getting a little bit older. What's the worst? You know what I mean? You never know until you try. So I want to try. I don't want to proactively rule out. What if she takes to it, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
That wasn't the case. That didn't end up happening. Like I said, we were there. The preview happened. There was this crazy intense, like, thriller scene that was meant to play up the intensity of it.
So there was water. It sprayed.
The whole deal. And she lost it.
Like, really big.
Freaking out. And I was, baby, you can't, I promise it won't be like this when the Trolls are out, right? Branch will be a lot. And could not even make it past the opening credits. And I was like, if you want to go, again, Trolls is playing every 20 minutes in several theaters. Yeah. Hopped out, went to a different theater. Left that off the, like I said, I didn't tell you that part because there was no need to share that with you, but lesson learned.
What's the lesson?
The things that she is uncomfortable with that is pretty predictable like that probably should be looked at a little bit closer by me. That's a my bad. You know what I mean? That's all.
I like that you are willing to try it out and that you're just saying, because you are like that.
I maintain. My reasoning will stay the same. Even if it's something that is again, I didn't put into enough stock that it was far likely to end up that way, but I needed to see it myself because on
and
the
then she whatever, watched the second movie and she was fine, like enjoyed it. She was able to like regulate and get into it. She wasn't afraid. Okay.
We were totally fine. It ended up being a smaller theater, way more her pace. So yeah, I think the things I just got to put more stock into knowing that if there is something that is likely to cause a disruption to the things that I am clearly aware of after 6+ years, then yeah, dude, pay attention.
I think it's fair that you wanted to try it. I think that's actually pretty brave.
But that's my point, is I will maintain that knowing that you would never go into that scenario because you just know too much. I still have a little bit of naive.
You're like a learn by, what is it?
Trial and error person. If you tell me that pot is hot, I still probably gotta touch it to see how hot is it? Is it like that hot?
Okay.
But this one was really hot. I got burned.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I mean, like I say, it was 10-minute lesson and now I know better for the next time. So.
Were there anything else like that?
Yeah, I thought she wanted to see the Grinch. She doesn't like the Grinch. We're not going to
see
the Grinch.
I think the overall theme for her and for, like I've said this about myself, we don't like surprises. Neurodivergent people do not like surprises. Like, it's not fun. It's genuinely not fun for us. So I think those two things, right? You bought like Grinch tickets to see the musical as a surprise.
So let's talk about that. Yeah, to your point, I woke her up on the Saturday morning with the surprise. Hey, guess what? Me, you, Grandma are going to see the Grinch.
Yeah.
Primo seats, cherry. You know what I mean? Center mezzanine. Didn't even
not even
compute.
A little. No.
Grinch gives me nightmares the last X amount of times I've seen it. Well, guess what, babe? Grinch is now going to give me nightmares too for completely different reasons.
So you had to resell tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took a little bit of a hit on that too. But
that is your thing. You love surprises. You love surprising other people, which is very sweet and thoughtful. And also you're learning that some people, like, it will like decrease the value of the gift. For some people, myself and Liliana
included.
Correct.
I think to that point, though, I think you've realized over the 15 years we've been together, I pick my spots way more on surprises now, though, too.
Yeah.
And I pick them to when I know that they're more likely to. Right. And again, like to your point, it lessens the impact when you're always trying to surprise. But that, again, the trolls thing wasn't necessarily a surprise. That was a misjudgment. That was like I thought this was going to enhance the movie that we were going to watch anyway.
I guess surprise meaning not knowing what to expect. Like, if I was so brave to try a 4D, I would tell her exactly what it's like. The chairs are going to move.
No.
There's
going to
be a little bit of water.
I went the other way. I was like,
didn't even tell her what to expect.
Going to airdrop her in the seat and see what happens. And didn't even make it to the opening number, man. I was like, can you at least wait until Branch comes out? It'll be like bright. Like, it'll be vibrating, but like happiness. And you sure?
No. No, it didn't work out.
No, that's okay. But
I remembered to like sign her homework folder because on Thursdays, I usually get her folder out. I sign it and I like prop it up in her backpack for Friday mornings when you do her school so that you don't forget. I didn't set any of that up.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I felt like there was a support group amongst the folks at her school where they all realized you were gone because they just it's funny because you can't hide whenever you got to do drop, like, it's me, it's like, wait a minute, why are we seeing dad 12 straight days or 13 straight days when mom's clearly
think I told her teacher.
No, I know. And so it's like
probably
the crossing guard and
the
everything.
Crossing guard. The entire village knew that I was not there.
Her teacher came out once, she was like, solo dad, how are we doing? And I was like, this is news in the class apparently. But and also, man, like, I can't say it enough. I was telling it to you and telling it to her. Like, she deserves all the credit in the world, man. She made it so easy on me.
Liliana was really good for you.
Yeah, man. And she's like a little you. She really is. I think as she gets older, because she sees how you are, I think she's just going to mimic you naturally.
Yeah. She'll tell you if you do something wrong. That's why I kind of
daddy,
knew.
These are all the papers. Like, keep them over here so we can show mommy later.
Yeah.
And you sign this.
She was kind of like half running it a little bit as well. Cool. You know, but I have to say, because I shared this on Instagram, like the story, and I was like, oh, Mark did so well. And they ran everything as well as they could and all this, and I'm so proud of him and this. And then a lot of moms were like proud and happy too, but they were like, when it's just us, like, no, like, we don't, it's just expected. Like, we don't get, like, if the roles were reversed and you went away for 17 days,
oh, yeah,
no one would be like, how did Laura do?
They're just like, well,
like, great, Lord. It's just like, yeah, same old thing, right? Like, how do you feel about the fact that people, there's like a conversation now a lot about how dads get overly appreciated when they do anything parent related in public, like a dad is pushing a cart at Costco with two kids without the mom, and they're like, oh my god, what a great dad, and the mom is doing it, and like, it's just like, oh, it's just like another thing. It's like, what do you think? Do you think dads should not get as much credit, or do you think we should give moms more credit, or like, what do you think?
I think my take is that it speaks to the fact that it's not been normalized in our society that dads are doing these things frequently enough that it actually needs to be recognized. Like, these are things you should be doing. Like, if people want to, because it's the traditional, I'm the dad and she's a daddy daughter, and it looks, oh my gosh, she did so, like, I'm not in it for that. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. And I just feel like it's.
But do you think if you see a dad like out with his daughter or son or just without the mom, that it's like, oh, like, what a good dad? Or is it just like he's being a parent?
I don't look at it as, oh, I just think he's being a parent because that's how I am. And if people see me out in public with her and think that.
Yeah.
You can't control other people's thoughts, but I just think that once I just feel like there's still a little bit of a lack of recognition to the fact that dads have been doing this to me. And it's like, I don't think it needs to be overly praised. Like, I just think that it's like, oh, cool, he's capable. Like, I'm capable.
I mean, I will always praise you as my partner and showing appreciation for you, but I don't think that the public appreciation needs to be as like, oh my god, he did it. And it's like,
no, yeah, and I think that's what, like, I'm saying is, I think from the person doing it, I don't expect that, or I don't do it for that. When we're partners, it's not unlike being on any team that I've been on when I was playing sports growing up. It's like, you have to be able to depend on the other person, and conversely, you don't want to not be able to carry your own weight. Like, I don't ever want to be the weak link. So I take that personally. I'm always like, okay, fine. You want to be gone? Like, I will make it so that you can be gone and there's no drop off, right? It's like needing to pick up a slack for a teammate who's injured or something like that. It's like, oh, you're not going to be around. You're not full capability. Then step up. Like, that's, again, a different mindset mentality, but that also helped me too. And she also, to her credit, as a 6-year-old, is so much different than she was when you're talking about her at 2 years old or 4 years old. And, you know, she made it to where I could tell she adapted, because in the ways she's acted since you've been back, she was not acting like that. And she was giving me more rope. And she was seeing like the freaking expression of stress and frustration and guilt, sometimes a combination of work, but just having to juggle her. And she would be like, okay, daddy, I can do this myself. Like, she would just be super aware to the point where I was like, that's really considerate of her. So it was like nice to see that from her in a way that I don't think would be possible when we're home together.
And so. I already sort of said this is expected. They hold it together for the non-default parent. She kind of like releases, and I get that, as I'm like that as well. Did you have to manage any big emotions or meltdowns when I was gone? Like, there was not even an option.
There was not a
big
episode of her. Wow. You know, again, I think knowing Liliana could see that I was literally doing everything I could, because it's like, who's getting you ready for school, right? And like, I'm in there, and I'm like, hey, can you eat breakfast while I jump on a Zoom call, right? Like, on that level. And just like at so many times, I'm like, this is brutal. This is super hard. But her adaptability like really jumped out, because I actually, it's one of those things where like she was acting so good and making it like palatable for me, where it was like, I actively noticed. I'm like, damn, I was like, you like making it to where this is manageable. I was like, thanks for being so good. And she's just like, she was good. And she was just acting different. So.
Would you do this again?
1,000%. I want to do it again.
You do?
I do.
You're so sweet.
I'm serious, man.
Really? Like, what do you think, considering, I mean, obviously, it wasn't easy.
If I can remove work from the equation, especially, yes, because, like I said, I think the stress of always being on as a remote, you know, employee for a major, you know, major media company, there's always an underlying level of work stress that gets compounded whenever you're like, hey, you're running point by yourself. But, I mean, dude, this is one of, like, as much as you were saying, and that's what I was trying to get across to you, is that I didn't share some of these things with you because I was not trying to add any stress to you, because it's not gonna help.
Yeah.
By any means. Of course. But also, it really wasn't that stressful of a time. Like, in all things being considered, everything was going so well that I wanted to convey to you that, like, you shouldn't feel any sense of guilt or worry or concern that, man, maybe I stayed too long, or, oh, I could have cut the trip earlier because, like, look at how, nah, dude, we were chilling. Like, we were swimming. Going back to what you said, would I do it again? I would say 1,000%, because, like, I can't ever get back the one-on-one with her. It was, like, it was nice.
I know. And I know for a long time there was, like, even, you know, recently, but for a long time in her earlier years, you had a hard time not connecting with her, but, like, feeling adequate, I think, as her parent. I think you've also talked about how it's harder being a partner of parenting with me, someone like me who knows so much, that you just naturally always feel inadequate about that. And the fact that she's not an average neurotypical kid with where you can just rely on instinct for her, and it's like a second language, and then she's so emotional and so much like you that it's also harder to see. Like, there were so many things at play that I know some of her earlier times and her dynamic with you was tricky. I've heard you say that before about, you know, you and her connecting over things and feeling confident in your relationship. So I'm glad. I knew that this would be good for everybody, but the way that it played out, I think, is way better than I could have anticipated. That makes me happy. I remember when we were having the hardest time with her, and a big part of it was you and her kept bumping heads. Like, every time she had a meltdown, if you showed your face, she would just, like, lose it even more. I remember talking about this with my therapist, who was Lilian, basically our family therapist at this point, and she was talking about how you doing more self-care tasks for her, or with her, like bath time, getting ready, like all those things, that just naturally creates more of an attachment and a bond that's stronger. So I remember her saying that you should do more of that. And I remember feeling like, I don't think I can ask Mark to do more than what he's doing, because we're already stressed. And then how is he going to want to do that if every time he's around her, they're like bickering? So that was like a stuck point for me. But I remember two things. One, before you went to Atlanta, before we moved out of the Bay Area, for like that month before you left, you were doing bath time like every single day. Yeah. Bath time and bedtime, it was like your thing, because I was like, I'm soaking up all like my nighttime time before you leave. That. So it was like a full month or more of every night was your bath time. And I remember you guys were so strong at that point. And now forwarding it back to this and noticing how you guys bonded over her and she appreciates you doing things for her, even though now she could do a lot of it independent, but she knows what goes into morning routines. Like, I can see it. And that's exactly what the therapist was talking about. When they feel cared for and taken care of, that's like the strongest form or one of the ways to bond. So I think that that's a huge thing to keep. So I'm excited that this feels like a new level, I feel like, of our like triangle family, which we always talk about now as one and done. And I feel stronger about that decision every day. We talked about this in the last episode. Like, it doesn't waver. I don't get baby fever. I get dog fever. If anything, I want a dog. But for our family, like, we're just getting stronger and stronger.
I don't get fever at all.
I feel more confident. Do you feel more confident as a parent?
I've never felt this confident.
Do you feel so good?
I've never felt this confident as a parent, as like an adult, and as anything. Cause like,
and you're so much more confident and fluent in like conscious parenting or gentle parenting decisions and logic, and like that's so new.
No, it was clear that it strengthened our connection together, because, you know, it's something that I want us to be able to do independent of you. I want to have a bond with her that's just us two, that is going to require times to you for you to not be in the room, and vice versa, and I'm going to be gone in times where I'm out on, whether it's work, whether it is trips with friends or family, whatever, that it's going to be you and her, and you guys are always going to have the connection of being mother daughter, right? Like, there's that same gender connection, right? So I just feel like I got to do everything I can to take advantage of an opportunity like this and not look at it as like, oh my God, I'm dreading, how am I going to survive? It's like, no, like, I'm going to thrive. I'm going to do things my way. Like I said, she might have had Lunchables a few more times than you would have been cool with. At the end of the day, she survived. Like, and yeah, she probably, she hit the popsicle cart like 7 days in a row after school. That's not flying with you, right? Like, to me, these are the concessions that I can make where I'm like, cool. Like, you giving me the ball, I can run point. I play point guard differently than you. I have a different style. I have a different style to my game. And ultimately, we're going to get the same result. We're going to win. But, like, I know that I'm flashier in this way. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to do this Trolls movie and have it blow up in my face, like a turnover, behind, like trying to throw a pass behind my back. Always trying to make an analogy for sports. Sorry. But, like, that's the way I thought of it, is, like, I looked at it as, and I think that that's what I would hope anybody that gets put in a situation where, you know, PSA to any of my friggin' husbands out there, like, yeah, bro, you can do this. Like, if you're in it every step of the way, let your significant others, let the moms of the world, let you get your sanity back, right? Because I see you come back, you're more refreshed than I've seen you the entire year, a year that you absolutely dominated, which you earned the right to go and do your thing and get right. And now you come back and you refresh all of us. So it's like, it helps the whole ecosystem.
It's a system. So
that's the thing, man, to just be the person who's setting the whole course for the day with meals and where we're going. There was that level of, like, I don't want to just stay at home for several reasons. One, she's just going to stay more likely to just stay on a screen. And two, it's just like, okay, but that takes more energy. It's like, yeah, I got to round them up. We got to go to the park. We got to go find parking. We got to find a restaurant, and nobody's making decisions. And that's where I feel like when you are here and you're just, because that's how you're structured. And I usually just default and defer to you because you're usually very much more particular about the windows of timing in your day than I am. That's why you end up naturally taking lead, because you're like, well, are we going at 2:30 or 2:45?
Right.
I'm like, that whole dynamic of, I can't just wake up and take care of my own day. Oh my gosh, dude. And the first week, no work, much easier. Second week with, oh, I got Zoom calls at like 7:30, 8:30, 9, 10:30. And then, oh, by the way, we're still trying to go to Downtown Disney tonight around traffic. And I got to figure out what we're gonna, like, dude, I got pickup, all of that. I was like, I don't know how people do this as like a full-time living.
I think the thing that helped the most in the past year was when it's been a year, because I got COVID this time last year. That was when I was still doing her. I was doing all school drop-offs, all school pickups, unless I like couldn't. So it'd be every once in a while, and I would say, "Daddy's taking you to school today. Mommy has a call, or Daddy's picking you up." It was like sporadic and not predictable. And then the week I got COVID, I woke up obviously and tested, and I had COVID, and I was like, I can't take her to school. So it was not prepared for her, and that was like a really bad drop-off for you, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next week was also bad. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't have COVID, but I remember my therapist again was like, I think you should make this like a weekly thing, so she gets used to it and Mark gets used to it, you get reps in. And I was like, that's a good idea. But again, I felt guilty asking, and I was like, why do I feel guilty asking? It's her other parent. It's not like a favor. It's you know, like, it's not even something I need to say, please, thank you, sorry to do that. It's like, okay, she's right. And we started doing that, and it was a transition, but eventually it got easier and it was just expected. So I think, and that's what gave you, then you had every single part of her day and week already done and covered and knew what to do. Mm-hmm. That just, you just did it every day for 17 days. I always recommend that for families if they're trying to get their other spouse or partner involved, make it a routine and start small at first so that it's predictable even for the child, and even when it's uncomfortable, not rescue them. Like, there was a couple mornings I was like, should I just step in? And I'm like, nope, I'm not going to rescue them. I'm going to let them stumble through it, have a hard time, eventually these will go away. And it worked, but it's uncomfortable at first.
Again, you can't just come in for when things are at its best. Like I mean, again, that's like a lesson for life. Like, it's not about when things are going well. It's about when you have to deal with adversity, right?
Yeah. And
especially with her, you knew that in her, especially her, when she was younger, it's not a matter of if there's going to be another one. It's like, oh, when the next one comes,
the next meltdown.
How am I going to take it?
The next meltdown.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, sorry. To be clear. Yeah, it was never going to be a question of if. It was like, all right, I got to be better. So it's just like anything else. How are you going to better react to what's going to happen? Because she's going to be the same when this happens again. Yeah. What are you going to do to not be... Well, I guess I'm saying this to me. But like, yeah, that's how I would start trying to approach it. But yeah, it's just reps. You need to be thrown into the fire a little bit. And I think to your point of like the pickup or school drop-offs and doing things in the morning. And I mean, for me, it was because my, you know, again, a company's based in the East Coast. I work earlier in the morning. So I know you probably felt the level of guilt because I do have a lot of calls at the time where she has drop-off. I mean, I literally had to move stuff around when you were gone. But I mean, going back to that though, you should feel no level. Like I felt when you asked me, I felt like I was obligated to come in. I was like, yeah, of course I can. One day out of the week on Fridays when usually things are more chill with work and emails. And yeah, so that definitely, once you took that and you remove the kind of veil from, oh, that's what the morning looks like, what you do whenever I'm usually fortunate enough to either sleep or have to jump on a call as you're taking her, you know, to school. Once I've seen it and I was doing it on Fridays, it's like, yeah, it's going to just be more reps doing it every day, but I already know what the blueprint is. Uh-huh. And when you don't have that mental block in your head, like, I can't get her ready for school. Like, it's so much. It's the hair and it's like, oh my, you gotta brush your teeth and wait, you're making her lunch. You're not doing it the night before. Like, dude, yeah, when you let yourself get all in, but it's like, dude, it's just break it down. Wake up, same time, it's routine, and that's all it becomes. And again, we know her. She's a creature of habit, like most kids are. Like, she appreciated that. And we were in line early every day whenever I was there because I didn't want to, you know, so hyper aware of, like, I got no safety net if I don't wake up. So, yeah, I make sure that she's there. So all of that to say is I just think that naturally, you, when you're not there, the void got filled.
You made it work.
You have to. I mean, you don't have a choice. And fortunately, it's her and she's your daughter, right?
What does that mean?
You know what that means.
I don't know.
You know damn well what I'm saying. Like, look at me. Like, she's your... Like, dude, she's a little you already. I can't even imagine what my life's going to be like when she's 4, 5, 6 years from now, twice her age. Like, she's going to just be just how you are, the way she approaches things. And I appreciated that because she's very compassionate, though. Like, that's the thing that came across to me more than anything is that, you know, I'm pretty expressive with my emotions whenever I'm going through a lot. And if I'm huffing and puffing, she's just kind of reading the room. Like, her ability to read the room as a 6-year-old, incredible, dude.
She's very, very emotionally aware. Like,
it really did. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm saying this struggle, but, like, it neutralized me a couple times because it's okay. Like, the one that cracked me up where it was, like, frustrated interaction, maybe just tired from the day, and someone on the road didn't use their turn set, didn't use their blinker. And I'm like, you know, I make a comment around, like, come on, bro, just turn your blinker on. And she from the backseat, it's okay, daddy. You're a good driver.
I know.
It's their fault. I'm like, dude, like when that happens.
She feels so responsible for our feelings.
I know.
It's very compassionate, but also something that I want to clarify with her. Like, you're not responsible for our feelings, you know, but which is why with kids like her, who are very highly sensitive from a sensory perspective and emotional perspective. Like, I'm always, and as someone for myself who's so anxious, I'm always trying to, like, not radiate that off onto her. But it's hard. We're both emotionally expressive people.
I mean, if I can be honest, yeah, the radiation thing, it feels like that does happen.
Yeah, of course.
Because you're back in here now and she's acting
different. It's impossible.
The number of times she says, mommy, and she's asking for things that when you weren't here,
she didn't ask.
It was just
I know she's wanting just, and that's what I was talking about. Like, when you take care of them and you do things for them, they feel loved and attached. And she's asking for me to like brush her teeth mm-hmm. and to help like wash part of her body that I haven't had to do in a long time. Mm-hmm. She's just really wanting to soak up more of the connection with me from when I was gone, which I get. That's why I've been trying to be really like patient about it.
It's like a hangover boomerang too. I mean, like she hasn't even greeted me the last few days, dude. It's like, hey, bro, I'm still here. You know?
I know. She does have a hard time managing like the love and connection for both of us at the same time. The three of us combined in a room or whatever we do is more likely to cause a fight or an argument than when she's just with you or just with me. That's been a constant since she's been little.
Yeah, it's like my visual is we both have a cup, one cup of love each, right?
Yeah.
You have a cup, I have a cup, and she has one cup. When you were gone, I got to fill her cup all the way to the top and overflow, right?
Yeah.
Now that's that you're back, bro.
Both of it, and it's too much. I could totally see that. Great analogy.
Hey, listen, man. You know what I mean? This is not what I'm specialized in, by the way. Just really good in my day job. I'm just telling you what I see. You know what I'm saying?
You're great. Okay. Love you. Thanks for being here.
I love you too, babe. I'm always here.
See you next time.
Take care.
Before I sign off, I just had to record this last final message out there. I want to say thank you again to my sweet husband for taking the time to dish everything that happened while I was gone. He is such a good sport. I know I mentioned it in the episode that I feel like some dads today may get a little too much credit. Maybe that's because moms feel underappreciated, but in this particular scenario, I don't think I give enough appreciation to my husband. This was such a huge trip, and not one ounce of guilt on my end was felt from him for taking so much time away from my family. He not only didn't make me feel guilty, but he encouraged every late night, every drink I had. He really, really wanted me to fully, fully unwind. And that is something that I am very, very grateful for. And so if there are any non-default parents out there listening, this is your sign to give the default parent some time for themselves, whatever that may look like, whatever you can afford in terms of time, resources, finances, make it happen. Let them know that you appreciate them. Because it can get pretty exhausting and draining and very easy to lose yourself in the day-to-day of being a default parent. All right, take care. I'll talk to you next time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating it and leaving a review, which helps other parents find me as well. Want to learn more from me? I share tons more over on Instagram @TheOTButterfly. See you next time.